You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray you'll be blessed with the teaching of God's word. For more sermons, visit sunlife.org.au.
You know, it is so fun to serve a church where everyone knows the gifting that God has graced them with, and to use the giftings to serve one another and to honor God. And I thank these guys so much because they come during the week and they rehearse and they come early and they set things up and they lead us in a time of worship. And I'm pretty sure that a lot of us engaged with God in that time. This morning, I want to share a very short message on Good Friday. For most people, mainly Christians, we would know that Good Friday and Easter, this particular weekend here, has to do with the death of someone. And that person is Jesus Christ. Whether you are a Christian or not, you would know that when Easter comes around, yes, there's the good old hot cross bun and the chocolate egg and the bunny, but you would know that it's got to do with the death of someone. Someone died. If you read the Bible, especially the Gospels, the first four books of the New Testament, you see the story of Jesus, and these books would start off with the birth of Jesus, born in Bethlehem, leading towards the death of Jesus in Calvary. Let me read you from Mark chapter 15. This is one of the books in the New Testament. Towards the end of Mark, in chapter 15, he writes this: "At noon, 12 o'clock, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. At 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?' When some of those standing near heard this, they said, 'Listen, he's calling Elijah.' Elijah is a prophet years ago, thousands of years ago. Someone ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a staff and offered it to Jesus to drink. So here is Jesus on a cross. He's been there for hours, and at 3 p.m. he cries out, my Father, why have you forsaken me?' And these people at the bottom say, 'Well, he's crying out to Elijah. Maybe he's thirsty. Let's grab a spear or a staff and dip it a sponge into some vinegar and maybe that will help him. Maybe that will soften the pain of that death.' And then they say that, 'Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah, this prophet, comes to take him down,' he said. And verse 37, 'With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last.' And Jesus dies. Easter is about the death of someone. There's a cross. Someone died on the cross. Whether you are a Christian or not, you know Easter has to do with a cross. I grew up in Australia. I remember as an 8 or a 9 year old boy, my mother purchased me this beautiful golden chain and she gave me this little golden cross. And I wore it. I had no idea what the cross meant as an 8 year old boy, 9 year old boy. I knew that we went to church. I knew that we went to church and I knew that this cross had something to do with a God, or it meant that I was a Christian. And that's all I could remember, this little cross. Then growing up in my teens, a few years after that, I would watch some horror movies, as you do, and in some of the scenes, the priest, he's fighting against some evil spirit, and there's some exorcism taking place and demonic forces, and he pulls out what? He pulls out a cross, right? Or he does this. And for some reason, as he pulls out that cross, there's this supernatural force like Luke Skywalker when he realized he had the force by extending his arm, right? And then, of course, the demon runs away. And there's this something about this cross. And then most recently, I noticed lots of young people are having tattoos and it's up and down their arms and legs, and I noticed there are a lot of cross. There are cross everywhere. And most recently, I see on social media where churches would have an image of a cross with an equal sign followed by a heart. A cross equals heart. So why is this cross so popular? Why is it that people would wear a cross on their necklace or their chain? Or why is it that people would tattoo a cross? Or why would people put on social media, Instagram, a cross equals heart? Why is the cross so important for Christians? What is the big deal with this cross? Why celebrate the cross? Because the cross was for the Romans, public execution of a criminal. Why celebrate the death of someone? I mean, let's be honest here. If I had to pick between Christmas and Easter, if I had to pick one to celebrate, I would probably rather celebrate Christmas. Is that right? Because Christmas, it's the birth of someone. You know, Jesus is born, and for the Christians, we believe that the birth of Jesus was God. This is the God of the universe, the Creator God. He would come to visit us. And that's a big deal. You wanna celebrate the day that God came into this world, that God took on flesh. That's a great day. Matthew would write this in his book, Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. I mean, that's wonderful news. God came, God visited us. That's a great time to celebrate God. But why celebrate the death of someone? I remember growing up, I played a lot of basketball. A lot of basketball. As a 12-year-old boy in year 7, some of the players from the Perth Wildcats came to visit us at school. Now, let me put some context here. Back in the mid to late 80s, basketball was more popular than the AFL. All the kids play basketball. The AFL was slowly growing in WA. And all the kids play basketball, and we followed this team called the Perth Wildcats. And I had some favorite players. I loved Cal Bruton, the Black Pearl, for those who can remember back then. The Alabama Slammer, Mr. James Crawford, Tiny Pinder, let's not talk about him. But they were my favorite players, and they came to my school as a year 7, 12-year-old boy who loved playing basketball. They came and ran little basketball clinics, and they visited us. To this day, I would never forget that moment where these wonderful athletes came to my primary school to visit me. I celebrate that day. But Easter? Come on. Someone dying? The cross? That's pretty strange. Why would we even be here and celebrate the death of someone? Correct me if I'm wrong. We would rather attend the birthday party of someone than the funeral of a deceased person. Is that right? But why Easter? Let me say this to you, friends, that the central celebration of Christianity is not Christmas, but Easter. The central celebration for a Christian is not Christmas. It's this day here. The death of Jesus is more important than the birth of Jesus. The birth of Jesus is like starting a marathon. The death of Jesus is completing the marathon. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. If you've competed in a race, very rarely you would take a photo or a selfie of yourself at the starting line. When would you want to take a photo of yourself? At the finishing line. Is that right? You don't party at the starting line. No, that's pretty ambitious, right? Because you might not finish the marathon. You party at the end when you complete the marathon. Are you with me? So the central celebration for the Christian is not Christmas. And yes, we enjoy Christmas. Yes, we celebrate that God would come to visit us. But the central celebration is on this day here. This day here is so important. And let me give you two reasons why it's important. Firstly, the death of Jesus was purposeful. And secondly, the death of Jesus was personal. Purposeful. We need to understand that he gave up his life. Jesus' life wasn't taken away from him. He, Jesus, gave up his life. He died with a purpose. There was a meaning behind his death. He willingly gave up his life. He could have walked away, Jesus. He could have said, no, I don't want anything to do with this. But he says, you know what? There is a reason, there is a cause, there's purpose, and I'm going to give up my life for a purpose. Mark chapter 10, verse 45, Mark writes this, "For even the Son of Man," that's Jesus, "did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give," see that? "To give his life as a ransom for many." Paul writes in Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, Paul is another author, he writes this, "Jesus Christ, who gave himself," you see that? He gave up himself. He did it because there's a reason to rescue us from the present evil age. I read somewhere that one Navy SEAL, this soldier in America, was awarded the most oldest medal. And we're talking a medal that was established back in 1861. He was given this oldest medal. It was the most highest and most prestigious medal awarded to any person in the military. And this medal is called the Medal of Honor. And this medal here is only given by the President of the United States. And this man here, this Navy SEAL, by the name of Michael Mansour, was awarded this medal. And the reason why he was awarded this medal was that when they were in Iraq, fighting in Iraq back in September 2006, a few Navy SEALs, officers were on top of a rooftop. As they were fighting, the enemy threw a grenade onto the rooftop. And Michael had a split-second decision to make. When he saw the grenade and he saw five of his other friends, he jumped on top of the grenade and used his body to smother the explosion. He died 30 minutes after that. His friends witnessed their buddy, their brother in arm, die a horrific death 30 minutes after the explosion. 2 years after his death, President George W. Bush gave him the highest medal, the Medal of Honor. It was awarded to his parents. They received it on his behalf. Their son, Michael Mansour, died with a purpose. He gave up his life for his fellow brothers. And here we see in the Bible, Jesus gave up his life for a purpose. And what is that purpose, you may ask? Well, what's the big deal, Pastor Ben? Why did Jesus have to die? Well, in Romans chapter 4, verse 25, Paul writes this, "He," that's Jesus, "was delivered over to death for our sins." The reason is because of our sin. Not his sin, our sin. And what is a sin? A sin is simply when you offend someone, when you hurt someone, when you say something that is mean or hurtful, when you offend someone, that's a sin. But this is the thing. It's not only an offense to the other individual, it's also an offense to God himself. So when we do something to offend people, we're also offending God. And because God is holy, God requires a punishment. God requires a penalty for our mistake. Every time you commit a crime, there must be a penalty for the crime. I'll give you an example. I'm not proud of this example, but it's a true example. Last year, I was driving to church on a glorious Sunday morning to be your pastor, to preach the Word of God to you. As I was driving from my house to church, I got caught by the police driving too fast. I'm not proud of it. He was hiding behind a bush. He came out. He pulled me over. I slowed down. My heart began to race. He showed me his radar gun. And he says, "You know what, sir? You've driven over the speed limit." He was very sneaky because he was hiding behind a bush. That's all I could say. He got me there. So I'm trying very hard to weave myself out of the situation. And this is a true story. I was telling him I'm a Christian. I did. I told him I'm a Christian going to church. I'm not someone finishing a big party going home and to rest. No, I'm a Christian and I woke up early to go to church, but it didn't work. So I said, I'll go to the next level. I did. I'm a pastor. I did. I said, I'm a pastor going to church, and I kind of lied here to preach a message on forgiveness. I said, I'm not proud of this, right? I'm not proud. And it didn't work. I tried really hard so that he would see the halo on my head, and there was no halo, and it didn't work. And you know what he said to me? You committed a crime, and a penalty must be paid. Here it is. Here's your penalty. Here's the infringement. $100. And that's the same with God. When you commit an offense towards God, something has to be paid. A price has to be paid. And that's death. That's death. I don't know whether this is hard for some of you, but if you offend a holy God, the penalty is death. But Jesus gave up his life so that his death would be your death. It was a purposeful death. That the purpose for Jesus to give up his life was so that we don't have to die. And that's why Paul would write in Colossians chapter 1, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior, there's your crime, there's your wickedness, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body. That's Jesus, through death. Jesus died to present you and me, what? Holy in his sight without blemish. That's the purpose. Jesus died because there was a penalty that had to be paid. And you and I couldn't pay that penalty. He paid it for us. Secondly, his death was personal. Personal in the sense that he died for you and he died for me. And the Bible would say that because God loves you and I so much that he died for us. I don't know about you, but for those who are parents, I would say that most of us, we love our children, correct? I have three beautiful children. I love them so much. I tell them all the time, I love you. Whatever you do in life, I love you. My love for you is not based on what you're going to do for me. No, my love for you is because God has given me you and I love you so much. So whatever you do in life, you're always going to be my children. I'm always going to be your dad. And I'm always going to love you. And I tell my kids all the time, that's how much I love them. And then Jesus in the Bible begins to compare the earthly father's love with the heavenly father's love. And he says this, all the earthly fathers, you love your children and you know how to give your children good gifts and you buy your children great things. And Jesus says, but that love will never compare with the love of the Father. His love is exceedingly great compared to any love that you would ever experience. And he says that there's a God in heaven who loves you so much. For some of us, you know, we might struggle to relate to our earthly fathers, but I want you to know is that there's a heavenly Father who loves you so much. It doesn't matter where you have been. It doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter what people think of you. It doesn't matter what you have experienced. It doesn't matter what your past looks like. It doesn't matter what you even think about yourself. I want you to know that there's a God in heaven who loves you so much. The reason why a lot of us struggle to explore the love of God is because we feel that we're not worthy to be loved. And the Bible says it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter about your background. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter what you have done. There's a God who loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you, because the death of Jesus is personal, because he's dying for you and you and you and you and me. He died for us so that we don't have to worry about death. Paul says this in Romans 5:8. God demonstrates his own love, his love for you and for me in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's how much he loves you. That's why Good Friday is a good day. Because the cross means a lot to us. We celebrate the cross because we know that we should have been on the cross. We know that we should be the one crucified. We should be the one dying that horrific death. But Jesus died for us. We know the cross is so good because we can't do anything to stand before a holy God, but Jesus did it all for us. We know that it's a good day because the cross meant that God loved us before we loved Him. That He was waiting for us to be good so that He would love us. He would love us because He is good. That's why Friday is a good day. That's why Easter is a greater celebration than Christmas. The penalty was removed through the death of Jesus for you, for you, for you, for you, for you, for me. That's why it's good. The sting of sin, the sting of death has been removed because Jesus died for us. That's why it's good. If Jesus never died for you and for me, we would never ever be able to stand before a holy God. We can't. Let me finish with this song here. I mean, not a song, it's a story. I was about to sing. A story. I could try to sing the story. A little boy and his father, they're driving on a country road. Spring afternoon, it's a beautiful, glorious afternoon. Suddenly, the father winds down the window and a bee flies into the car. And the bee is just flying inside the car. And the boy, he's got this allergic reaction. He's an anaphylactic. And he's going to react if the bee stings him. And he's petrified because he sees this bee. Because he's been stung before. Because he knows that if the bee gets him, he's going to swell up. He begins to panic and he's petrified. He's freaking out and his dad notices it. Dad reaches out and grabs the bee. Squeezes the bee with his hand and releases the bee. But as soon as the bee's released, the bee's still flying around near the sun, and the sun is now panicking. He's frantic again because he sees that bee buzzing near him. And the father knows that the son is so scared and afraid. So once again, he reaches out his hand. He opens his palm, and this time he points to his palm. And he says, "Can you see the stinger, the barb of the bee on my palm? Can you see that, son?" So he goes, I do, I can see it, Dad. Well, you don't have to be afraid anymore because I've taken the sting away for you. You don't have to be afraid anymore because I've taken away the sting for you. The cross is personal because Jesus took away the sting of sin. The sting of death for you and for me so that we don't have to be afraid anymore. That this afternoon, if God was to come knocking at our door, we can say, I'm not afraid. Because I know that I could not live the life you want me to live. I can't live that life, God. And I know that I should be the one on the cross, but I wasn't. Jesus died for me. It was a purposeful death. It was a personal death. It was for me. The sting of death. The sting of sin. The sting of that penalty has been removed on the palm of my Savior. I'm not afraid. I'm coming home. That's why I'm not afraid of death. Because I know that the sting has been removed by my Savior. That's why Easter is a great day. Amen. I want you to know that He died for you. He gave up His life. There was a purpose behind it, to take away the penalty of sin. And He did it thinking about you. It was personal. He was thinking of you and me. I'm going to ask the team to lead us as you begin to worship.